After witnessing Hanuman's devastating prowess, Ravana called a meeting with all the leading Rakshasas. The Rakshasa king said, "Our impenetrable Lanka has been ravaged. My palaces are in ruins, and many of the best Rakshasa warriors are now dead. According to authoritative opinion, the root cause of victory is good counsel, and that is why I have called you all here. There are three classes of men in this world. Before acting, the wise person takes counsel of superiors and friends who have common interest. Then, according to their advice, he exerts himself to his fullest capacity, while ultimately depending upon providence. The mediocre person thinks over a matter himself, considering things in the light of his own understanding, and then acts accordingly. But the vilest of men are those who entirely give up faith in providence and perform their actions whimsically without a sense of duty, being unable to properly judge what is beneficial and what is harmful. Such persons go ahead blindly, saying, 'I shall do it no matter what.' Similarly, there are three types of advice. Good advice is given after an objective study of the problem and which is in alignment with religious principles. Mediocre advice is given after a heated discussion of the problem and places more emphasis upon self-interest rather than religious principles. But bad advice is that which is given out of false pride or flattery and which does not properly take into consideration the ultimate consequences. I am convinced that very soon Ram will come to attack Lanka with an army of monkeys. Ram's prowess was demonstrated at Janasthan. Thus, I have no doubt he will be able to cross the ocean without difficulty. And so, my dear Rakshasas, all of you are very intelligent, and so I want your advice about what must be done for our welfare. Ignorant of Ram's strength and eager to please their master, the Rakshasas replied, 'O king, why should you be afraid? You are powerful enough to defeat all of your enemies single-handedly. Why, just remember how you defeated Kuvera, taking Lanka away from him. Remember how Maya Danava fearfully handed over his daughter Mandodari to you. So why should you even bother to worry? You can rest peacefully while your son Indrajit annihilates Ram and all the monkeys before they even cross the ocean. Previously, after defeating all the demigods, Indrajit arrested Indra, the king of heaven, keeping him captive at Lanka. Only at the request of Lord Brahma was Indra allowed to go free and resume his heavenly post.' Ravana's commander-in-chief, Prahasta, then spoke, 'We have already conquered the demigods, Danavas, Gandharvas, and Pishachas. So why should we be afraid of these mere mortals? Hanuman was only able to exert his prowess because we were unwary, considering him to be a mere monkey.' Another Rakshasa named Durmukha stood up and declared, 'I will not allow this insult to go unavenged, for wherever they may be, in heaven, on earth, or within the sea, I shall rid the world of every single monkey.' Brandishing a club stained with flesh and blood, the Rakshasa Bhadradanshtra shouted out, 'Who cares for fighting with a bunch of monkeys? It is Ram and Lakshman whom I shall crush to death. O king, just give me the order. Then another Rakshasa named Vajrahanu, who was as large as a hill, boasted, O king, just remain here and conduct your business as usual. Drink wine and make merry, while I attend to Ram, Lakshman, and their entire army of monkeys. Indeed, many of the Rakshasa heroes boasted of their prowess, assuring Ravana that they could conquer the enemy single-handedly. Brandishing their weapons, the agitated Rakshasas were poised for combat when Vibhishan politely restrained them. And when they were all seated, the pious Vibhishan spoke, My dear elder brother Ravana, the wise have advised that violence should be resorted to only after the other three tactics of conciliation, gifts, and dissension have all failed. And even then, violence only succeeds against those who are evil, unwary, under siege by another enemy, or doomed by fate. Ram is supremely powerful and virtuous, and he is eager for revenge. So how can you hope to defeat him? The root cause of our present crisis is the abduction of Sita by you. You should thus return her to Ram before his arrows destroy Lanka and all of its inhabitants. After hearing Vibhishan's advice, Ravana dismissed the assembly and retired to his quarters. The next morning, Vibhishan came before Ravana as the Rakshasa king sat on his throne, listening to the Brahmanas offering prayers for his welfare. Seating himself nearby, Vibhishan said, My dear elder brother, ever since you brought Sita to Lanka, many inauspicious omens have manifested. The sacrificial fire now gives off sparks and smoke, and snakes are frequently found inside the kitchen and sacrificial arenas. The offerings meant for sacrifice are sometimes full of ants, and swarms of crows are found perched atop the palaces. Vultures continuously hover over the city, and she-jackals can be heard crying out ominously every morning and evening. And this is all because of your sinful act of kidnapping Sita. O Ravana, the only atonement for you is to return her to Ram at once. I speak to you honestly, whereas your other ministers simply flatter you because they are afraid of incurring your displeasure. Because Ravana was overwhelmed with his desire to enjoy Sita, he became angry upon hearing his brother's sagacious advice. Nearly shouting, Ravana declared, I do not fear Ram or anyone else, and I shall never agree to return Sita under any circumstance. My dear younger brother, you may take your leave and go about your business. In the month since kidnapping Sita, Ravana had grown emaciated due to his unfulfilled passion for Sita. Even his relatives had begun to disrespect him because of his abominable acts. Knowing war to be imminent, the king of the Rakshasas wanted to consult further with his ministers. Thus, the next day, he ordered them to reconvene, and thereafter, when Ravana arrived at the assembly hall, riding upon his chariot, everyone offered their respects by bowing their heads to the ground as thousands of trumpets heralded his arrival. Ravana then said to his commander, Prahasta, You must immediately ensure that our army is ready to defend the city of Lanka, both from within and without. As Prahasta left to oversee the army's preparations, Ravana then addressed the assembly. My dear Rakshasas, I am pleased to announce that after sleeping for 6 months, Kumbhakarna has awakened and is gracing us with his presence today. Please listen attentively, for I want you all to fully understand my position. For as you know, I have become obsessed with the lovely limbed Sita. Indeed, I have become the slave of my passion for her. Then, hoping to put himself in a better light, Ravana began weaving a deceitful tale. It seems Sita has finally agreed to become my consort, but only after the expiration of 1 year. That is the exact time I have allotted for Ram to come to her rescue. For this reason, I have remained patient. But now it appears that Ram, Lakshman, and a vast army of monkeys are preparing to attack Lanka. In truth, I do not feel that two mere human beings and a band of monkeys can pose much of a threat. However, since one monkey, Hanuman, was able to inflict so much damage upon us, I must admit that victory is uncertain. So that is why I have called for you all. I want you to advise me how I can kill Ram, thus keeping the lovely Sita for myself. Then Kumbhakarna stood up and sharply replied, O foolish king, you should have consulted us when you planned to kidnap Sita instead of acting impulsively. That would have saved you from repenting later on. Regardless, you may give up your great anxiety, for I shall counteract your blunder by killing Ram and Lakshman and devouring all the monkeys myself. Then Mahaparshva spoke up. O king, why should one not taste the honey procured with great endeavor within the snake-infested forest? You can forcibly enjoy Sita to your heart's content, for who can stop you? No one is as powerful as you, so you are free to do as you like without any fear. Oh, my dear Rakshasas, there is something in my past that I have always kept a secret. And since you have inquired, well, now I will disclose it to you. Long, long ago, I once happened to see an apsara of incomparable beauty whose name was Punjikashtali, who was on her way to offer respects to the universal grandsire Lord Brahma. The very sight of this apsara inflamed me with desire, and I forcibly seized and raped her. And after gratifying myself, I released her, and she fled naked to the shelter of Lord Brahma. The grandsire became enraged when he learned what I had done, and so he cursed me. O wicked king of the Rakshasas, your head will split into 100 pieces if you ever try to rape another woman again. And so you see, my dear Mahaparshva, it is in fear of this curse that I do not drag Sita to my bed by force. However, I am not afraid of Ram, for I know I am the most powerful created being throughout the universe. Ram is obviously ignorant of my prowess, and therefore, since he desires to attack me, well, I shall make short work of him. Vibhishan then said, My dear Ravana, can you not see that Sita is just like a poisonous snake which you have willingly placed around your neck? Use your good intelligence and return Sita to Ram before Sita becomes the cause of Lanka's destruction and the annihilation of all the Rakshasas. I can assure you that there is no Rakshasa warrior who will be able to stand before Ram on the battlefield and live to tell about it. But then Prahasta angrily asked, why should we be afraid of a mere human being like Ram when we have nothing to fear even from the greatest of demigods and demons? O Rakshasas, I am your well-wisher and the well-wisher of my brother. But you do not understand that Ram possesses unlimited and inconceivable potency on a level with Lord Vishnu himself. Therefore, Prahasta, you will do your king a great service if you dissuade him from fighting with Ram. But instead, you are now performing the greatest disservice by encouraging Ravana to fight with Ram. My dear brother Ravana, I am only thinking of your welfare when I say that you should return Sita to Ram. The minister who measures the relative strength of the king and his enemy and then gives advice accordingly is the true well-wisher. Unable to tolerate his uncle's words any longer, Indrajit hotly interrupted, oh, Vibhishan, you are simply a coward and a eunuch. Your advice has no place in this assembly, for it is devoid of courage and heroism. Previously, I dragged Indra and his carrier, Airavata, to the ground, causing all the demigods to flee in fear. So it will be easy for me to kill two ordinary humans like Ram and Lakshman. Indrajit, you are a mere boy. Because your intelligence is not yet developed, you cannot decide what is to be done and what is to be avoided. You are actually Ravana's enemy, not his son, because you are dull-headed, indiscriminate, uncultured, and wicked. Sita should be given back to Ram along with generous gifts so that the Rakshasas may continue to live peacefully. By now, Ravana also got tired of hearing Vibhishan's contrary advice. To chastise his youngest half-brother, Ravana spoke, it is better to live with an enemy or a poisonous snake than to live with one who claims to be a friend, but who is actually a traitor, especially if that person is one's own brother. And so it appears that one's own relatives rejoice the most at their family member's misfortune. And there is a story in this regard. Once, when some elephants saw hunters approaching with snares in their hands, they recited the following two verses. Fire and weapons we do not fear. The dangerous are the so-called near and dear. They are the ones who take special pains to make sure that we are all put in chains. From cows we derive milk. In brahmanas we find austerity. In women we see fickleness. And from relatives we are put into danger. Vibhishan, you are envious of me, and that is why you cannot tolerate the honor I receive. For if anyone else had spoken as you have, why, I would have killed him at once. Oh, wretched half-brother, you are a disgrace to our noble family. Enraged by Ravana's rebuke, Vibhishan rose up with club in hand, along with four of his followers, and thus declared, O King, although you are my superior, I can no longer tolerate your words, for you have chosen to follow the path of irreligion. Flatterers who only utter palatable words, they are easy to find. However, persons who actually speak for one's benefit, even though the truth may be unpalatable, they are very rare. O Ravana, I have only given you advice with the hope of saving you from meeting death at the hands of Ram. But you have rejected my advice, however, and so you are free to do as you like. Thus, I wish you well, O brother, but I shall no longer remain here with you.